The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday, but it is actually a Tuesday. Thank you, President's Day, for giving us the day off. We are so grateful and eternally indebted to you.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful long weekend. What a beautiful short week. We actually have such an exciting week here at the Toast.
We do. Like,
we just have so much excitement going on, aside from the fact that it's a short week, which is always just a beautiful thing.
It's so stunning. And I don't want to jinx it, but we've been having quite a few long weeks, short weeks recently, because we had MLK Day, we had President's Day, we had to quarantine, so we ended up like working from home.
We had the snow day.
The snow day, and then we also had to quarantine for like 2 days, like a few weeks ago. So like, it, like, they've just been like sneaking in on us into our lifestyle, and I'm so grateful.
I'm so happy to have them. So happy that they're here, but also so happy to be back at the show, because I feel like we have so much to talk about. We actually have some really great stories today, and just the beautiful long weekend just gave me so much joie de vivre.
Oh, the joie de vivre is so real.
It's through the roof.
I mean, honestly, you guys, we, you know, in the interest of being transparent, this is our second time starting the show this morning.
Right.
There's some crazy ass construction going on outside. I actually went downstairs and just, you know, surveilled the block. And I think we saw Dorinda, by the way, when we were outside. I forgot to tell you. I'm like almost, I'm almost 100% sure I saw Dorinda. I asked the lovely gentleman when they were going to be done, and they said about 20 minutes, and they didn't lie.
Yes, it seems so far so good, but it was so loud. We were in a wind turbine, and we just couldn't do that to you. So we had to start the show over. But don't worry, you didn't miss that much. Club was just sharing her fabulous indoor dining experience.
Well, yes, because I was saying how Sunday, having Valentine's Day on a Sunday with Monday being President's Day was such a premium experience. It was like the best Valentine's Day I think I've ever had, because it was just so relaxed, and me and Ben obviously were the last people on earth to make dinner reservations, so the only time we could get at Mastro's was 5:45, which also ended up being just like blessings on blessings, like such a lovely time to eat dinner. We were out of there by like 8.
That's a long ass dinner.
No, like 7:30.
That's an LAD.
Sorry, 7:30. And it was just like the whole world was in front of us. And we went over to Zach and Liv's, and we like drank and played Jeopardy. Like,
I saw.
It was just so premium. Like, I think that we should try and have Valentine's Day be on a Sunday all the time.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't work that way, but I like where your head's at.
And it was my first experience indoor dining, by the way, since they closed the restaurants in New York. They just opened them in time for Valentine's Day. And it was an experience. Like, it was.
So are you now reinvigorated? Like, do you have plans every night this week?
Well, I've never been to the Mastro's here in the city. I've been to one in Arizona, and I just remember being swept away by their butter cake and their bread basket, and I had an amazing time. And I said to Ben, like, why don't we come here all the time? It's so nice. It was, and you know, it was a great vibe too. Like, there was just like elegant and cool people all around, and I felt like this is where I was meant to be.
And there you were being.
And of course I got like so many, not, you know, let me not be dramatic, like 4 messages like, you are the reason why COVID still exists. You are COVID. And I'm like, because I'm eating at a restaurant that's legally open. Talk to Cuomo if you have a problem with that. Like, leave me alone. I'm just a law-abiding citizen over here.
That's literally crazy. People are still sending those messages. And I just want to make sure everybody, like, my Instagram feed is so post-pandemic. I just want to make sure everyone's getting those messages.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we definitely get like crazy ass messages because we have crazy ass stalker freak fans who used to be fans.
No, but they're fans. They literally watch everything that we do. Some of them even pay for Patreon like to see what we're doing.
Yeah, no, it's like, sweetie, you're a fan. It's okay.
Thank you.
No, and we have like a crazy level of like hater fans. So I know we get like above average messages, but like, we're doing the least. Like, I'm literally going to a restaurant wearing a mask and just sitting at a restaurant. And I see like so many influencers like doing the most, going to St. Bart's, like all these things. Do they get messages too? Because like, I want to be left alone.
I have to imagine that they do. Just they're just pretending that they don't, which is a move.
That's what I got to do.
Which is a move.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten any messages.
I also spent so much of my weekend on Clubhouse. I'm just obsessed with Clubhouse.
I saw you were clubbing here. You were clubbing there. I did some Clubhouses. But don't you get like nervous that you're in a chat and your mic's on and you don't know?
Well, I'm pretty good about my mic, but you never know who they're going to invite up to the stage.
No, no, no. Not that. Not when you're in a chat and you're muting and unmuting. Like that you opened your Clubhouse and then you happened to like
But that's not how it works.
No, but like I'm just, it makes me nervous sometimes that like I'm accidentally like talking.
Oh, well, yeah, like I left a room last night to go to bed. It was like a Jersey Shore themed room, at a reality TV.
Oh, I saw you in it, but I couldn't join because I had my night guards in and I would have had a lisp.
But so then like I put it down and me and Ben were like, you know, just talking and like, you know, talking turns into talking shit. And I'm like, wait, let me just check my Clubhouse.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, the whole concept of like recording, it's weird, but I enjoy it so much. I also joined a toaster event last night. It was Toasters with No Job. And there was like 200 toasters just like talking about how much they love the toast. And then I joined and it was like amazing.
Oh my God.
They posted in Toast After Dark that heavenly. They were doing it at 8 o'clock.
I saw that there was something, but I couldn't get my stuff together.
It was really fun.
Wow, that really sounds amazing. I'll have to join the next one. We did some other Clubhouses this weekend. We did karaoke, which was really funny.
That was probably my favorite one that I did this weekend. Hosted by Cody Ko and his girlfriend Kelsey, who is a toaster. And Lauren was in there, me and you. And it was just hysterical. I actually really liked that concept. He did, had people come up onto the stage for 1 second, sing their heart out, and then kick them off. It was really funny.
It was really funny. That was really fun. I'm loving the app. I feel like the toasters are getting into it too. I think that there's unlimited potential.
I'm loving the app.
Yeah.
Like, very, it's so fun.
Very cool space. I've been trying to like enter like other Clubhouses where they're having like interesting, meaningful conversations. Yeah. I haven't stumbled on the right one yet, but I'm trying.
I've stumbled on two so far, let me tell you. One I saw because Kelty was on one, so she had found it.
Oh, I need to follow her.
Yeah, because she's great at finding rooms, and it was all just about podcasting, and like me and Kelty like ran that shit, you know?
I'm saying like that's cool too, but like also just to be an audience member and like you know, listening to some business minds.
No, not to be annoying, but like every time I join, like someone invites me up, and sometimes, and this is what I was going to say, I wanted to say this on the toast today. If there is a person who works at Clubhouse and just wants some like really good user feedback, I have a lot of ideas. I do think you should be able to watch like on dark mode. No one can see that you're in there, but you're listening.
Agreed. Because I wanted to do that last night with your chat.
But you know, but I would have invited you up.
100% me and my night guards.
Yeah. So it's just, I think there should be like an invisible way of interacting. And I also think that you should be able to block people, because where is that feature?
No, I think that you can.
I went to go block someone and I couldn't.
Oh, I heard that you could.
Maybe I couldn't figure it out.
Keep looking.
Okay. But I do have ideas. So, like, get back to me. Because the toasters are a great, like, beta testing group. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're doing some beta testing. I think that they, like, have their stuff together.
You know, I just have ideas.
But because also the thing with night mode is you could be lurking. So I think they want accountability.
Yeah, which I also like.
Right.
Another conversation I joined was, like, with all these Italians. Vinny, I keep getting invited because of Vinny. And it was, like, the conversation, is New York City dead? And there's people from all different parts of the city, the Bronx, Staten Island, just conversing about, like, what it's been like in New York. And that was actually a really interesting conversation.
What was the consensus?
Well, I was, you know, the token pessimist. But I'm also a realist. And I'm just, like, a lot of people were saying, you know, like, so many people gave up on New York, like moving to Florida. And I'm like, I just don't think it's fair for you to like say someone's giving up on New York. Like, they have families and like lives and jobs, and they're just doing what's best for them. And like, it's been so hard to live in New York this past year. Like,
New York hasn't given anything to us.
So I don't blame people who left. And yeah. I actually really think I changed a lot of minds.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it was just fun, and like I felt like real Italian.
And it's like, okay, they gave up on New York, but they're living happy, full lives in Florida while New York unhappy people are like, you gave up. Like, okay.
I want to say something really, really, really controversial.
Go ahead.
Being like, you know, in love with New York and like New York strong, like all this stuff, like that is not a personality trait. I said it. Like, it's just not. Like, you can be a cool person and, like, admit, like, New York is deeply flawed.
Yes.
But I just feel like there's, like, it's like the Carrie Bradshaw thing. But New York. Like, those types of people, like, not a personality trait.
Yeah. I think that's a fair assessment.
Thank you.
So other than that, it was a great weekend, yeah?
Yeah, it was.
You know what I did this weekend? Oh, I did a number of things that just... You know, it was a domino effect of how it affected my weekend. But I went to a Barnes & Noble, and it was sensational, as
you had
said.
Did I not say that?
You had said it, and it was true. And I was just, like, feeling so RDH because I wanted to buy every single book. It just, everything looked so
stunning,
delectable. And, but of course, I read on my Kindle. So I wound up buying two books that I didn't already have on my Kindle because I had to participate.
Yeah.
I bought Firefly Lane. I read it all weekend. That was really like my whole weekend because of the new show on Netflix. And the book was really good. By the end, I was getting kind of over it. It kind of dragged out. But overall, really good. I gave it 4 stars. And then I was going to watch the show. But so many people who read the book said, do not watch the show. It's completely different from the book. Oh. They changed so many things about the storyline that will bother you. Oh. And so I'm here to say I won't be watching the show until the book has left my mind. Like maybe in a year I'll watch it. Because my personal opinion from reading the book was like, I hated Tully. This doesn't mean anything to you
yet. Is this Katherine Heigl?
Yes. I hated her character, like so horribly selfish, like irredeemable. And apparently with the changes in the show, like we like her. And that's just not what I'm wanting to watch right now.
Interesting. Well, I watched the third installment of To All the Boys I Loved Before. It just came out.
How was?
And I just have to say, like, it wasn't amazing, but it's just so pleasant to watch. And I know I've gone into my whole, you know, theory on To All the Boys I Loved Before versus The Kissing Booth a million times. But even though it wasn't like the best movie I'd ever seen, and it was like very cliche, like college, what are we gonna do? It was, I just love them. Like, and I love the setting. I love John Corbett. I love Lana Condor. I love Noah. I just think like everything about it works so well. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a pleasant thing to watch. And I love the kids. And by the end, I was like literally getting choked up.
That's so beautiful. Was it better than 2?
Yes, I was not into the whole, you know, love triangle in number 2.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, the movie is well done. The music is so good. I just love, like, all, like, of, you know, Lara Jean's, like, room. Like, it's just so well put together.
Yeah.
That it's just, like, a fun thing to watch mindlessly.
Okay, I have to add that to my plate. I've really gotten back into reading.
I have one thing to say.
What?
2. They did Lara Jean dirty in this movie with some of her wardrobe choices. Her prom dress, atrocious.
Okay.
And part of the reason why I loved her character so much in the beginning was she was such an interesting style. Yes. They did her dirty Lara Jean of movie 1 would never have worn Lara Jean of movie 3's prom dress.
I have to see it now.
And the other thing was this was the first movie where I really felt like her and Noah Moore were a little too old to be high school seniors. Like,
ooh.
Yeah. But other than that, it was just like really fun and fresh. And if you're looking for something just to like watch mindlessly, it's excellent.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my content plate. I think Bruno will really like it.
And then speaking of watching,
do you think Bruno can watch 3 even though he didn't see 1 and 2?
Yes.
Okay.
It's, they kind of give you backstory in the beginning.
He'll be
and John Corbett has like a bigger role than ever. And I just love him because he's getting married.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in the trailer. Sorry, I don't know if I just spoiled that for you.
It's okay.
And then also speaking of watching, this is our third week of doing Toast Movie of the Week in honor of Black History Month. And I am so excited. We literally planned this out 2 weeks ago because we knew that the version of Cinderella, Rodgers and Hammerstein's version with Whitney Houston and Brandy, would be going on to Disney Plus February 12th. So it is now on Disney Plus. And that is what we are watching this week. I haven't seen it in forever. I've seen it once when like we used to live in Long Island, like so long ago.
Yeah.
And I've listened to the soundtrack a million times. I'm just so excited. I heard it's been restored, renewed for the big screen, and I cannot wait.
Wow, I can't wait. That's going to be so fun to watch. Wow, that's exciting.
It's a good choice.
It's a great content week.
Yes. So it's streaming for free on Disney Plus.
And we'll chat about it on Friday.
On Friday.
Love it.
That was our mini TV recap. We obviously have the Bachelor recap at the end of today's show.
Yes. And shall we get into today's show? We have so many great stories, like so much to discuss. So many things.
Catch up on anything else?
So many things I'm looking to get your opinion on. Yes, one more thing I need to update people on, because as you know, the warehouse has been extremely sick.
Oh, yeah.
And they've actually taken
medical update.
Medical update. They've taken a turn for the worst because these sweaters just came in.
Ooh.
Cream Hayedern.
It's
beyond,
so sick.
Beyond sickening.
The crew neck is a bone color, and that font is a delicious chocolate brown. And this is literally going to slay the shit out of your wardrobe. Hayedern merch. Available tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern time.
At shopmorningtoast.com.
Yes.
As opposed to Shop Hermes, as Claudia clarified last week.
Yeah, no, it's really confusing. It's Shop Morning Toast.
Yes, and there at 10 a.m. tomorrow will also be Redheads merch. I just posted the whole Redheads line capsule collection on the Redheads Instagram page, so check that out if you want to see what's dropping.
Yes, and while a lot of our products are unlimited this time, there are a few of the SKUs, mostly the apparel and the crew necks, that are limited quantity. So just make sure.
This color sweater is limited. So if you want to get what you want, hop on as early as you can. Some things are unlimited, but if you want to get exactly what you want, I would say sign on early. Also, in terms of sizing, I'm wearing a medium in this sweater. You'll notice when you get yours that these sweaters, all of the sweaters in this drop are a little bit thicker, hardier than some of our other sweaters. So I enjoyed sizing up. Usually, I guess I would wear a small, but I don't know. I need more coverage these days.
I always wear an XL in crew necks, and the XL like truly never lets me down.
Yeah, so I toggle between a small and a medium, and if you two are a toggler, I would just go with the one up just because I like the extra room.
Yeah, but
room
they're really warm. If you're in Dallas right now in that ice storm, you need one of these.
You do. You really darn.
And also, I hope everyone's doing okay in Dallas. Yeah. Like, that was crazy. Your in-laws, your grandma lost power, right?
Yes, very crazy. And it's all over Texas. I saw people in Austin. We're also...
I saw crazy videos on TikTok.
I know. I saw from people on Instagram stories. I guess I follow a lot of people who are in the Texas area. But these winter storms, they're coming fast and they're coming hard. So make sure you're hunkered down and you have everything that you need.
Yeah, seriously. Stay safe.
Stay safe out
there. 'Cause I saw a terrible video of that car pile up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It was crazy.
That was so crazy. Eight on I-35 in Fort Worth, there was 100 car pileup.
I saw the cars were just flying. It was so sad and so scary because each time a car couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. So it was just going and going and couldn't stop. It was so, so scary. So yes. Sending a lot of love to the heartland. Is that Texas?
I don't think so.
To Texas. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, well, also there is like big storms like in the surrounding area, states.
The Heartland.
So Heartland adjacent?
Yeah, the Heartland.
Okay, are you ready to dive into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast?
I am, but I would be remiss. I would be devastated, and I would even be heartbroken if I didn't let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by FabFitFun. FabFitFun Spring Box is centered around the theme Grow Forth, supporting self-care and self-growth in the new season ahead. FabFitFun, I'm on like my third box now, and it just really is a premium experience every time I unbox because you get so many full-size products because I know there are a lot of box subscription services out there and you get like tiny little things.
You get samples.
And you might like the product and you run out of it in a few days. But FabFitFun, I got like huge mugs, a huge pack of under eye gel masks. So all the products are full size.
Those mugs were stunning.
Stunning.
I like, you know, I've been into tea because of Downton Abbey and those mugs came at the perfect time. I also feel like on this show, we always talk about how important it is to treat yourself and like buy gifts for yourself. And yep. With FabFitFun, you get like a literal seasonal gift delivered to yourself, to you, from you, but you don't know what's in it, but you also know it's going to be great. I feel like it's so great for just like your own self-care.
And their new box, which is themed Grow Forth, it's all about promoting that type of self-care. And they're passionate about showcasing amazing women because 20 female-founded brands are in the Spring Box this season where you can choose from a wide variety of products when you order. So they have beauty, they have lifestyle, they have wellness. They just have a great range of products. I've gotten amazing things in the past like beautiful scarves, mugs, great lip glosses. They really have you covered. And I'm just excited because spring is bound to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to sign up for FabFitFun or get your spring box today, sign up now so you can snag amazing products like the mugs we were talking about or anything else in any other wellness beauty category. But you have to use code TOAST if you want to get the $10 off your first box. So the website is www.fabfitfun.com, code TOAST for $10. Again, that's www.fabfitfun.com, and the code is TOAST for $10 off your first box.
Love it. Sign on, treat yourself. Be fabulous, be fit, and be fun.
Express yourself, girl. Let it all hang out.
Okay. Are you ready for our first story?
I am.
Very happy news. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry announced they are expecting baby number two. Archie will be a big brother. Meghan and Harry are about to become a family of four. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are expecting their second child together, the couple announced on Sunday. The baby will be the younger sibling to the couple's son, Archie Harrison, who turns two on May 6th. I did not know that Archie Harrison was birthday buddies with the snitch.
So, first of all, I loved their announcement. I thought this photo was so gorgeous, so elegant, so royal.
So stunning, so happy. When I look at this photo, the song Happiness by Taylor Swift plays in the background.
Or Pharrell. 'Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you... Well, I saw an interesting factoid about this photo, why it's historic.
Please share.
So this baby will be born in America, most likely. But because his father, he will also be eighth in line to the throne. So this is the first human being ever who could potentially be president of the United States and king or queen of England.
Wow.
So just something to think about when you are thinking about your history.
That is a really interesting factoid, one in which I did not know.
Yeah, I mean, and that's assuming that the child will be born in the States. I assume
the child will be, as they've taken up residence here.
Right. But I feel like this is like, I'm like, they have their child. Like, I wasn't expecting another baby announcement. I don't know why. And this was just a great, wonderful weekend. Happy Bibi news.
Yes, very happy. They announced their pregnancy with the stunning black and white photo that was taken remotely via iPad by their friend and longtime photographer, Misan Harriman.
Wow.
The smiling and barefoot Harry looks lovingly at Meghan, who cradles her bump as she rests in her lap. It's really a really beautifully stunning picture.
It'll be in textbooks.
It was taken on an iPad, just like this one.
That's crazy. Hey, take one of me and Theo like that. Maybe Theo, look up at me.
One. Oh, no. After this, we should do a shoot of you guys lying like that. That's beautiful.
Just warning you guys, the construction is back. Hopefully you can't hear it, but just try and ignore it because, you know, this is New York. Everyone loves it.
Loves it. Greatest city on earth.
I'm really happy for Meghan and Harry. I feel like they're... When I saw this picture, I'm like, this is the happy ending after Megxit. Like, this is what all that was for.
Right. But also, she had announced that she had a miscarriage over the summer. And so this is just a very happy, even happier news for them than Rainbow Baby. And I'm very happy for them.
Me too. This is great. And a sickening. They're like just, they make amazing photos. Like that photo we always talk about, the blue dress and the rain and the umbrella. If you don't know,
it's the latest photo on our Instagram because Claudia posted it.
I'm obsessed with it. They just have great photo ops. They really do.
They have great Kodak moments.
They do. They do.
Well, we also have a little more Meghan and Harry news because Oprah is going to sit down for an interview with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, a 90-minute special on CBS that airs on Sunday, March 7th. It is being trumpeted as an intimate conversation with the former royals. The statement reads that Oprah will speak with Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, in a wide-ranging interview covering everything from stepping into life as a royal, marriage, motherhood, philanthropic work, to how she is handling life under intense public pressure. Later, the two will be joined by Prince Harry as they speak about their move to the U.S. and their future hopes and dreams for their expanding family.
Well, if anyone could do it, it's Oprah. Mm-hmm. And this will be really interesting. I feel like... No, I'm done.
Yeah, given that with this news, it's actually crazy that we haven't had this sooner. Right,
I was just
going
to say, I feel like the story has played out, but they actually literally have not spoken ever.
No, it's just everyone else speaking for them. And even when they do speak, it's about other subjects, whether it's their podcast, they're sharing other people's stories. Like, I think it's going to be really great to hear from them. 90 minutes, CBS, see you March 7th.
Yeah, no, I will certainly be tuning in.
Yeah. So that's your royal update for the day.
Yeah, also a little Bibi news. I don't know if you chose it, but... Junie Cortez and Meghan Trainor had their baby.
No, I didn't choose it. That's so happy for them. But our next story is a little more Bebe news because Brandi Redmond has given birth to her third daughter.
I didn't even know she was pregnant. I saw this on Twitter.
I know. That's part of why I chose this story. Obviously, I'm so happy for her and her growing family. But the timing of this pregnancy is like kind of perfect for her because she is not pregnant yet on Real Housewives of Dallas. Maybe we find out during this season that she is. And now
but what's the headline?
She's given birth. She's given birth to her third daughter.
But daughter. She has she has four kids.
She has four children now.
Well, they had another daughter.
Yes.
That's crazy. Is she redheaded?
Yes, of course she is. Her name is Bree Lynn Mary Redmond. And they made the announcement via People over the weekend. Brandi said, "We are overjoyed with love and beyond blessed to be welcoming our little miracle. Bree Lynn shares a birthday with her late grandmother, who we honor and miss very much." In case you forgot, Brandi's mother-in-law died in a car crash in October 2020 where her daughter Brinkley was also in the car.
Oh my God.
But she was unharmed. It was a very scary story.
Oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And they do the B names. Brian, Brandy, Brooklyn, Bruin. Yeah, it's cute. Bruno. It's cute.
This is a bebe.
Oh, so cute. So red hair. Those are crazy genes. They both have red hair. All their kids have red hair. And they're a sweet family. And I loved watching them adopt Bruin. And now they have another bebe.
Yeah. And so By the time they film the reunion, she won't even be pregnant anymore. Like, she will have already given birth.
I don't know.
But we also, it's just an interesting timeline and one in which I think works out for her that she didn't have to work so much.
Yeah. Well, also, I find it so interesting how, like, the women of Dallas, the housewives, are just all skewed so much younger because, like, in certain franchises, like, nobody's had a baby, like, on Beverly Hills
Teddy.
Or Oh, Teddy.
But we were...
She was the youngest.
When Teddy was pregnant, that's what... It's funny. We had this conversation, but I was saying, like, nobody really has... It gets pregnant on Housewives, and you were, like, rattling off all these different...
No, but I meant, like...
in Atlanta, too.
But I meant... No, they have, like, Portia, Candy.
No, I'm saying in Atlanta, they have recent pregnancies.
Yeah, I just feel like the women of Dallas are so much younger than the women of Beverly Hills, Atlanta, and New York. Like, we've never had a pregnant New York housewife.
Yeah.
So, but all the women of Dallas are so young. I feel like Brandy won't be the last one to be pregnant. Like...
It's possible.
Because they're all super young and, like, still growing their families.
Yes.
But I'm happy for her.
I'm happy for her, too. Speaking of someone else I'm happy for, I'm excited for this story for you. Vegan TikTok star Tabitha Brown is writing an inspirational book and a cookbook.
Oh, she says we'll be purchasing the inspirational book. I'm not vegan, but...
The inspirational book is called Feeding the Soul Because It's My Business.
People, that's so funny.
People can reveal exclusively. The new book will be published by William Morrow on September 28th, and her own cookbook will follow.
She also needs a Food Network show. Like, I don't know what everyone is doing.
Yes.
Like, taking their... Damn time. She's such a queen.
But this is such great book news, which we love to see.
We love to see news
that makes sense, and also digital stars foraying into the traditional world in a way that is seamless.
Yeah, I agree. She's a star. I love her. She's just one of those people who radiates positivity on her platform. And those are the people we should be lifting up and giving opportunities to. And I just love her. And I'm so happy for her. She's hysterical.
Yes, she said, I literally wake up and pinch myself at the thought of my life today versus 4 years ago.
Right.
Then I hear my daddy's voice in my ear saying, you only live once, but if you live it right, once is enough.
Aww.
She says, I couldn't agree more. Living in my truth is enough, and it's the best feeling ever. Sharing that with the world in my book is such a blessing, and my hope is that readers will take the same feeling away after reading it.
Yeah, no, I think a self-help book from her, obviously the cookbook is like the natural... Mm-hmm. You know, next step, but I'm not vegan, so, and I don't really use cookbooks, but I would definitely read a self-help book or just like an inspirational.
Inspirational is what it's being touted marketed as. So yeah. I don't know if it categorizes as self-help. But
sorry, I thought you said self-help.
Inspirational.
But that's just great because she really is an inspiration and I love her.
Yes, I love that. And some more digital news that I'm looking forward to getting your opinion on. Rebecca Minkoff is joining OnlyFans for New York Fashion Week engagement. She is... planning to use OnlyFans to interact with her consumers during New York Fashion Week. The subscription-based platform, which allows content creators to directly connect with their audience, has become quite notorious for its democratization of the sex work industry, though its use extends far beyond. The fashion designer will use her OnlyFans profile to share exclusive style content ahead of her New York Fashion Week show on February 16th. Fashion Week is still happening? Who knew? Now available to follow, Minkoff's profile features never-before-seen video content of past Fashion Week events and allows a glimpse into the life of the designer. She will also use the platform to share her entrepreneurial journey with her audience, expressing her story as a female founder within the fashion industry. So she's using OnlyFans, you know, as the subscription-based content platform that it is, you know, and I think what people would say is an interesting use of the platform for a traditional mainstream fashion designer.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to roll my eyes at this story because I feel like when Rebecca Minkoff is making news, it's because I feel like she's really smart and she has like a young, smart team around her and they're always looking for forward thinking ways to elevate their brand, but they're never going to do that like with their clothes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, at this point, it's like clickbaity type news things. Like, cool. Like, does anyone care? No. Well, I don't care.
I do think it's interesting. Like, I wonder if it's the sort of thing where it's like, this is the first of many brands that now take to OnlyFans. Just like, you know, when Snapchat came on the scene and then brands went to Snapchat. And I don't know if it's going to happen that way. But I think it's interesting for OnlyFans, which has become like, whose growth has just been
exponential. Yeah, no, and it definitely is a space out there on OnlyFans for content that isn't, you know, sexual, but that's what people are going to the platform for, and I don't see it becoming like a Patreon for people who would just have any type of content. Like, it's just been marketed too well as what it is. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, no, it does remind me of Patreon, and then I was like, should we be on OnlyFans?
No, and then I'm just like, why everyone who's trying to like start an OnlyFans... Just get on Patreon. It's such a great platform.
Yeah, I guess the difference is, one, the way that it's branded, but also OnlyFans is just photos and videos. So, like, we do audio, and Therefore we actually couldn't do what we do on OnlyFans.
Got it.
Because I thought about it. I was like, should we be on OnlyFans?
Right. I mean, I could start an OnlyFans and make literally $4 million a month with these titties, but I'll save that for my husband.
Nice. Well,
and Theo.
Oh, do. Are you ready for our fifth and final story? A little
business. Yeah, business. Yeah, business.
Bumble's 31-year-old CEO becomes a female billionaire. A company catering to women and led by women has made its 31-year-old female founder a billionaire. Whitney Wolf Hurd's stake in Bumble is now valued at $1.5 billion after its IPO last week. She, I saw, so...
They went public.
They went public. This is big news because she's one of the rare female billionaires. Mm-hmm. According to Forbes, she's the youngest self-made female billionaire, you know, which is a jab at Kylie.
Kylie, right.
Even though they're the ones hung up on this word
they
self-made.
They gave that
they
to her.
They gave it to Kylie, then they took it away and they gave it to Whitney. And it's like all these articles I'm reading about it, it's like no one else is hung up on self-made right. except for Forbes.
Right. No,
they
like
need
these,
to calm down.
These like abstract.
And, like, two young female billionaires and we're going to pit them against each other?
It's sick.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. I just do think it's a big deal that a dating app went public, you know?
Yeah, well, Bumble has become, obviously, you know, we all know, just this huge, even like media company at this yeah. point. And they went public. They actually, the shares performed even like better than what they started at. And I think it was like valued at like, I don't want to get it wrong, but multiple billions.
That's great. I mean, we love female-founded entrepreneurship billionaires. And here's to, you know, the next two female billionaires.
Yes. And Bumble is one of three female-founded firms to IPO in the past year.
Oh, wow.
Making it, you know, an even bigger deal.
Well, that's fabulous. I'm so happy for them. Congratulations to everyone. And it's a great day to be a woman.
A female businesswoman.
Let's get into our TV recap segment before this construction makes me literally go outside and kill someone. and the Bachelor segment is brought to you by Noom. Theo, you okay? You want to know about Noom? Okay, let me tell you. Think about everything you've ever learned about getting healthy. There's a lot of contradictory information out there, and things like that old-fashioned food pyramid aren't much help. Have you ever gotten questionable food advice? It's not about what you ate. It's about how you eat in general. And Noom is going to teach you about your eating, your cravings, and how to build new habits so you can ditch your misconceptions and get smart about the food and the choices you make. Based in psychology, Noom teaches you how to eat so you can accomplish your personal health goals and stick to them long term. Because you don't need rules to lose weight, you need knowledge. With Noom, you pick the health goals that are right for you, and Noom personalizes a weight loss program to help your aspirations become reality. So if you have specific goals that you want to work on with Noom, you can get help with eating better, having more energy, feeling good about yourself, improved sense of self-worth, and the program is super easy and convenient. So you can learn more about what you're eating, you can ease into it with just 10 minutes a day, and they're very empathetic because you go off the path, you fuck up a little bit, no worries. Noom doesn't judge, and you can get right back on ASAP. Noom's cognitive behavioral approach means you're not just losing weight, but you're building the habits you need to keep it off. Noom is forgiving because you're human, so if you go off track, you'll get back on track tomorrow. There's a science to getting healthier, and it's called Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom, Noom.com/toast. Learn how to eat again with Noom. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com/toast. Ready to learn how to live healthier? Sign up for Noom today at Noom.com/toast.
Love it.
Okay, The Bachelor. Heather, part two, her and her minivan were sadly escorted out, but not before making some waves amongst this group of women who I've grown to really dislike.
100%. It's weird. Like, last week, we were like, Heather, what are you doing here? Like, we were all so hard on Heather. And then this week's episode started, and all of a sudden, I'm Team Heather within 1 minute.
Yeah.
The way that the women treated her was so...
Disgusting.
Disgusting. And it's like, they've learned nothing. You either die the hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain, and that is all of these women.
Yep. And it, you know what?
Made me extremely turned on every single one of them.
Me too. But let me just say, we were talking last week about how some of the girls are definitely... When they did this whole, like, exposing of the bullies, some of the girls got away with, like, being hardcore bullies and not getting, you know, sent home like Anna and Victoria. And that was Serena. And that was also Kit. I know everyone likes her, and I do too, but she was a bully in the beginning. And then in last night's episode, she was like, just go home, bitch. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, she
crazy.
Said that.
No, I know. I thought you were... A crazy thing to say.
And but Serena, again, was, like, being so insecure. And then
Serena
also...
was being such an extra bitch.
By the way, and we have to be clear, we're talking about Serena C. Because, yeah.
Serena C, like, wouldn't even look at Heather yeah. when she spoke to her. She was turned towards the girls and talking shit. At least say it to someone's face.
Yeah, no, she was being so insecure. They all were. And you know who else who I really liked? And the second she started being mean to Heather, I'm like, oh my God, you're so lame. Piper.
Piper. Oh my God. She was acting so insecure.
Yes.
And it was, all of them were acting in a way that made me dislike all of them and just completely think of them differently. Because in any situation where there's bullying, there's always going to be like the vocal bullies, obviously. And those people, you know, in the past, it was Anna, Victoria, even Serena C. And it's like, they're obviously the worst. But then there's also the people who laugh.
Yeah.
And then there's also the people
who don't do anything.
Who do nothing.
Yeah.
And they are all bullies in my book. There was not one Katie who said, hey, guys.
I was like, missing her.
And it's very clear that Heather M. is a nervous, shy,
nice girl.
Sweet person. And I feel like, I understand someone came in and you're pissed. But when she came up to you guys, couldn't have been like, sweeter, more polite, and
started crying
and nervous, like, let it go.
And then Serena says, can you go away and cry in your interview? That was so mean. I don't know how you could literally let someone cry in front of you. And at the end of the day, I empathize. Like, it is frustrating to be in this journey and then someone else comes, but trust Matt.
Oh, and you know,
Matt was never letting this girl stay. They're going to hometowns next week. It wasn't even in the realm of possibility. So before you get all verklempt and bent out of shape, why don't you see what Matt does first?
You know who was so mean and I was so upset with her?
Who?
Jasenia.
Oh,
it didn't work out on Colton season, so now you're trying this?
No, Jasenia, my respect for Jasenia went all the way down, and I really realized last night, you know, she had already served her purpose, and that was to have the confrontation with MJ, and her presence was no longer needed because her and Matt were literal strangers. When they were sitting on a date, I'm like, these two people have never met each other in their entire lives. And she ruined all the credibility I gave to her for standing up to the bullies and like holding her ground. I have lost all respect for her. Now I'm like, maybe MJ was right.
100%. I was so everything I thought I knew. I was so disappointed. Like, where did these girls get off? And also, so a couple of the girls who were being mean were the ones who were bullied as for being the new girls.
Yep.
So it's like, don't you know how it feels?
It's so lame. And I was just like really hating every single person on television last night.
I can't remember a season of The Bachelor where the mean girl like bullying was this
bad.
Flagrant.
Widespread.
Like, it really, like, I don't care what happens. Like, these girls, I'm mean girls. I'm writing them off.
And they're, like, the girls we're talking about are not even real. Like, I feel like the girls who could win are not even involved in this drama. Like, we haven't even brought up
Bree. Of course. It's the girls who are most insecure in their relationship with Matt who are most threatened by Heather.
Now, I want to say, maybe it's just because I'm already convinced that Rachel Kirkconnell wins, but I felt like last night was the first episode where I saw Matt treat one girl differently than the other. Like, he made it more clear that he had feelings for Rachel than he did for anyone else.
Yeah.
And I think, first of all, I love Aloe Black and I love that song, and that was just like an amazing, like, extra date.
Yes.
But I'm just like convinced that Rachel wins given everything that went on this week and how the franchise like weirdly protected her.
It's weird to watch last night's episode when so much went on in the Bachelor world this past week.
Yes.
And it's clear that not one edit was made to the show. Not that it necessarily should have been, but it's like, it's really, these shows can't keep up with the pace of the world around them. And that was so apparent last night. Mm-hmm. There's this whole conversation
we
going
know
on.
So much now.
Yeah. And there was nothing
addressed.
Yeah, but what could they have even really done? I'm not even sure what I was looking for other than the fact that like it just felt like whenever this was filmed was so long ago compared to the how many things happened this week.
Yeah, and we didn't make it a story, but there was a huge update in Bachelor Nation where after apologizing once, I think people were still really upset with Chris Harrison based on his interview with Rachel Lindsay. And not only did Rachel Lindsay announce on her podcast, Higher Learning, that she will not be renewing her contract with the Bachelor franchise. I watched it. It was really, she just said, like, I'm exhausted. And I feel like that's what everyone thinks. Like, Rachel Lindsay must be so tired. And she is.
Yeah. So what was she doing with Bachelor franchise? Just that podcast?
The podcast. And then I think you have a contract. Like, if the next Bachelorette, they need someone to come talk. Like,
got it.
Once you're in contract, like, you do things with them. You show up at after the final rose. There are all these weird things.
So she's not going to be doing Bachelor Happy Hour.
I don't think so.
Wow.
And she just said, and I love the platform that it's given me. Like, she said, I have so much respect and I appreciate so much, like, all the opportunities I've been given after going on The Bachelor. And I know that, like, I've kind of bared this burden. And as much as I want to continue to, like, educate, it's exhausting. And, like, she said she's tired. And I totally respected that. And then after that, Chris Harrison released another statement saying he's going to be taking some time away from the franchise and will not be filming after the final rose. To me, it really seemed like he'll literally be back next season. He just won't do after the final rose, which I know a lot of people were calling for him to, like, be canceled and, like, fired. But I think this is, like, kind of cowardly. Like, the whole after the final rose special, there's going to be a huge segment on Rachel and on this conversation. Like, Chris should be there and have that conversation because he said he's committed to, you know, getting more educated on a profound level. And I actually feel like being there for this conversation with Rachel could be helpful to you in that process of education. But he he doesn't want to overshadow. Like, it's Rachel and Matt's story, I think. I don't know.
Yes, but he also can't be the one to have the conversation with Rachel. No,
they need another host to interview Rachel and to interview Chris.
Yes, and they definitely need another host to do, like, you know, the after the final rose duties, which is, like, you know, happy couple update.
And it's a really huge job hosting the teleprompter. We've been there. Like, it is a production. The clapping, it's not anything just, like, an average podcaster can do, because a lot of people are suggesting, like, people from the franchise, like Mike Johnson. And while I love Mike Johnson, you have to be a trained host. Like, we have been to one of those after the final rose, and they are like a legit television clap, stand, teleprompter. It's a lot of work, and it's not just anything anyone from the franchise can do.
No, and I don't even know if it makes sense to have, like, someone who is, like, a former contestant. I feel like maybe ABC should tap into their hosting. Like, they have a million shows.
Yeah,
and like, they have daytime hosts on staff.
Yeah, what? Oh, The View is on ABC, but I don't think any of those women are interested in talking to The Bachelor.
Yeah, but you know, I think, I don't know what the plan is. It'll be interesting to see, but I think that finding a host who can have this conversation, like, is just something that ABC should have in there.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Chris Harrison will be fine. Like, I don't think he's going to be fired. I think he's very, very close with Mike Fleiss, and this is just, I do think it's like PR, and I think he's probably relieved to not have to have this uncomfortable conversation with Rachel and Matt. Because if Rachel is the winner, and I really believe that she is, not only is there so much to talk to her about, but her being engaged to a black man, like, adds a whole other level of conversation. Right. And so I feel like Chris Harrison, like, took, like, it's a cop out. I really feel that way.
You don't think that it's also in for the people who are calling for him to not?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't believe in cancel culture. Like, I don't believe in, like, someone, I don't know. I just think, like, if he, like, he released two statements, but why don't you go on TV and let's talk? Like, it's just kind of, like,
but he might still do that. I don't know what he has planned, but he could still do that and it just not be after the final rose.
That's true.
After the final rose, he's meant to be the host. And at this point, like, he can't host this season impartially when he's so much a part of the conversation.
Yeah, you're right. But, yeah. That's fair.
So,
but back to the episode, a million people went home, six more people. Kit went home, Abigail got sent home. A lot of people were up in arms about it. And as much as I liked Abigail, I don't think Matt did her wrong in any way. They literally haven't spent more than 5 minutes together since the first night.
Right, but
and
she held on to that. This season more than ever, and also given, like, everything that's happening off of the show, I'm just like, these producers, like, it's just exposing them, like, she got the first impression rose. Why did she never get a one-on-one date? Can someone answer me that?
It's so inconsistent.
And we know that the producers choose the dates. They choose everything. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, and people were upset because they loved her, but I don't really feel like I ever saw a connection between her and Matt. Even when she got the one-on-one rose, the first impression rose, I don't think it was because Matt was so, you know, in love with her immediately and they had a connection. I think it was because he really respected how much she opened up to him more so than anyone, and that made her stand out. So I never thought she was a real contender for his heart. I don't.
But she never got a chance to be. Right. Because she never had a date.
Like, yeah. I forgot about her.
The night one, no one, there's not that much that's going to happen, but the person who gets the first date all of a sudden becomes a real contender for his heart. Everyone who gets a date is a real, they just never gave her a chance.
Yeah. And Serena had a one-on-one and it went fine, even though she was, like, uncomfortable with the tantric thing. And I do feel like as a society, we are beyond those types of dates.
I agree. And again, it was, like, on the producers. Like, why are these dates? Like, that's very intimate for like a new couple. And I can imagine.
It's funny and it's not.
It's not. I can imagine it's uncomfortable. It was like, even with Claire's season, when we had all of those inappropriate dates, it's like, it's a reflection on the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, you guys, do you not even see what you're doing?
What you're doing. It's so awkward. And it's just like, read the room. It's 2021. Like, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
But she got the rose. Jesenia did not get the rose. She went home. Kit decided to send herself home. She'd had enough. She got her Instagram followers. She didn't want to go home and meet Cynthia Rowley.
Her mom was like, you can go on the show, but I have nothing to do with it.
You know, I'm not filming. So, like, she
do what you need to do.
She couldn't have done Hometown. So, like, the second she realized, like, oh, shit, I might be making it to Hometown, like, gotta go. I'm a long-term investment.
She tried first to, like, do her long-term investment. He was like, I'll invest.
Yeah, no, he was like, no, I'm down. I was like, oh, shit.
And then she was like, I'm shorting the stock.
But of all the people I was interested in seeing their life at back home, Kit was the only one.
Well, we're not seeing anyone's life back home. The families are coming to Nemacolin.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah,
just like last season, too.
Right. Okay, so six people went home. Jesenia, Kit, two from the rose ceremony, Chelsea and Serena. I was sad to see Chelsea go.
Yeah.
I think her and Matt had a real connection. Serena and Matt never spoke. He was like, you're still here? Bye. She went. And then towards the end, Piper went home.
Yes.
Which was shocking because
they just had a great date.
Yeah. And when it was between him and Michelle, Piper and Michelle, it was the only... Michelle is the only girl left who was from the second wave, right?
Yes, but she had the first date when the second wave came in.
She's just known Matt for so much less time. I thought for sure Piper was going to get it. I was actually really shocked.
Matt and Michelle have a really great connection. Yeah. I think that she even might win.
Yeah.
If this week hadn't happened the way that it did, I would think that Michelle could potentially win.
Yeah, no, I mean, Rachel is so obviously the winner, which makes me really sad because, and we haven't even brought her up, that's how irrelevant she is, but like Brie is the queen of my heart. Like when she was standing at the rose ceremony, just like, I never saw someone so beautiful in my entire life. Like I was shocked, her skin, her hair, like it was just stunning. And I'm like, how is this girl not the winner? And I know she hasn't gotten a lot of airtime and I think she's kind of quiet, but like Brie for Bachelorette.
I know. Well, I think out of the four women, I think we'll get our Bachelorette
from one of these four?
From one of these women.
Well, they know it's not Rachel Kirkconnell.
I think it could be Michelle.
So who's left?
Serena P.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about her.
Brie,
mm-hmm.
Michelle, Rachel. I think Michelle could be our Bachelorette.
I think she could too. But I love Brie.
Because people are also saying like Abigail for Bachelorette, Katie for Bachelorette.
No.
But I think that if they were going to be, it would have already been announced to like drum up some excitement for the next season.
And in order to be the Bachelorette from a previous season, like you had to have your heart broken. And like Matt didn't know Abigail and Matt didn't know Katie. Like there was no love story there. They're not heartbroken really. Like they were just girls on The Bachelor crying. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think
there's no redemption story there.
I think Katie has a chance. I think she's in the running. I don't think they've made their decisions yet. I think they want to see how the rest of the season plays out, who becomes like a fan favorite. Right. You know, every time someone gets eliminated, everyone on Twitter is like, blank for Bachelorette.
Yeah, that's so true.
These people haven't been eliminated yet, so there's no rallying cry for them to be the Bachelorette.
There's no campaign.
Yes.
That's interesting, yeah. But I was glad, like, because things have moved so slow. Last night, we literally went from 11 girls to 4. Like, yes. I was so grateful.
When they were talking about, like, hometowns, I'm like, what are you guys talking about?
There's so many of you.
Right.
No, I was really grateful for all the girls who went home.
There's always that one episode in the season where it's, like, they just clean house.
Yeah, like, guillotine. Like, and, like, a clean break. And I was grateful, like, to be whittled down to 4.
Yes, like, I think he has really a strong group. I think that it'll be an interesting rest of the season. I don't know.
I mean, it seems silly almost to be like giving a shit about this stuff when so much more interesting conversations are being had in real time about Chris Harrison, Rachel Kirkconnell. And when they both came on screen, I like felt so awkward. I'm like, I know so much about you. Like, why are you talking to me about something random? Like, let's talk about something real, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm actually looking forward to the aftermath of the season after the final rose, the finale. Maybe they're filming now. Rachel and Matt. I don't know. Like for the after the final rose.
Maybe.
I don't know. Like I'm just curious. There's a lot of different roads they could take. I hope they don't like drop the ball.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do. They have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, but other than that, it was fine. Everything's boring, and I was just like so bored the whole time.
So bored. Truly.
And we just had The Bachelorette. Now we have The Bachelor. When do we get the break again? Like, I'm really needing the break. Because now, every time, in the calendar year, we get, like, 3 seasons of The Bachelor. And at one point, I get fed up. And I'm like, actually reaching that point.
Yeah, I'm there.
It's just, like, not a good show.
No, it's not a good show at all. I think a lot of people are really reaching that point.
Okay. But it always feels like every year, I'm like, this is it. Like, this is when everyone's going to stop watching. And, like, nobody stops.
I know.
We just all stop together.
Yeah, we tried that. We honestly did. We had a season where we didn't recap it.
Becca.
For Hannah Brown.
Yeah.
And now here we are again.
Here we are. So that's our show.
That is our show.
Make sure to watch our Toast Movie of the Week, which is Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, starring Brandy and Whitney Houston, available to stream for free on Disney Plus. So use your Disney Plus login or steal someone else's.
Also, next time you see us tomorrow, merch will already be available. So set your alarms 10 a.m. Eastern time, shopmorningtoast.com, Hagedorn and Redhead's merch coming at you.
10 a.m. Eastern, that is 7 p.m. Nope. 7 a.m. Pacific. So just figure it out. Have a great day, you guys. We'll see you on Wednesday for Hump Day. Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Joe, the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the best five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So wherever you find your podcast, find us, The Morning Joe, and leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you have a great day. Bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye.